South Africa Police Service whistleblower Patricia Morgan-Mashali has gone through years of threats to her life and her liberty. But today, she had a good day. Welcome, Patricia.
Thank you so much, Chris. Good afternoon.
Tell us what happened in court today after so many appearances.
After so many appearances, it's actually been almost a year. All charges, I was acquitted of all charges today in court, unconditionally. Not guilty on all charges.
Remind us what the charges were, please.
The charges were spreading of false allegations, circulating WhatsApp. Actually, it was three charges. Is the defamation, spreading of false allegation, and circulating a WhatsApp message.
Now, why do you believe you were dragged through the courts like this, Patricia?
I believe I was dragged to the courts like this because I implicated Mayor Generalicia in my protected disclosures. And he wanted to shut me up. He wanted to silence me by praising as malicious charges against.
Patricia, how long did you spend in hiding?
I was in hiding for almost 7 months. While I was in total hiding, where I could not show his because of those charges. Because as you can remember, there was a warrant of arrest issued against me and a red alert was issued against my name, meaning that I was one of the most wanted criminals in South Africa, or let me say internationally, because if there's a red alert, it means that you are wanted internationally.
Yeah, you were literally on the level of a wanted terrorist at that time. But you never stopped whistleblowing, not when you were in hiding, not before you went into hiding, not when you came out of hiding. Now, last week I thought of you when 95 Libyans were arrested at a so-called secret military training camp. What did that remind you of, Patricia?
That reminded me of April 2022, when me and my husband, George Mashali, handed over two flash drives to the former deputy minister of SSA, Zizi Kodwa, regarding those illegal military training camps that was apparently all over the country. Before we handed over the memory cards to him, we also reported it to the former National Commissioner, General Sithole. General Sithole sent the late General Mfazi to Bloemfontein to come and get the information. When Mfazi arrived here, he didn't want information. He wanted the details of the source. That's when we told him that we will never give him the details of the sources because we know that's our sources. We must protect them and we know what happened to source. And then that's when we contacted the Office of the President. I wrote emails to the Office of the President. And then Zizi Kodwa called, and he said that he was sent by the president and he wanted to meet with us to get information. So he came to Bloemfontein, met with us, and we gave him the flash drive. And then he said that on instructions of the president, they are going to establish a task team who are going to work on this information. And indeed, he sent this task team that we didn't know what was the intentions at the time to come and get more information. It was September 2021 when I handed my phone over to them voluntarily to download the files on my phone. And then it seems like they struggle to download my phone because my security on my phone is very complicated. So it seems like they might struggle, but now I realize they could never download the files. But because I got a disposal order for my phone on our last appearance in court, the previous appearance in court, and I fetched my phone from the police station. And then I realized that all the messages that I sent to Becky Cele regarding this unlawful military camps were deleted. Because Becky Cele didn't have a WhatsApp. I sent him SMSs. So only the messages, SMSs that I sent to Becky Cele was deleted from my phone.
Well, it was in the custody of state security.
While it was in the custody of state security, that was when I handed it over voluntarily to them. So I never realized that the SMSs were deleted. Remember, shortly after that, in October, my phone was confiscated by the former colonel Panamera, who's now a brigadier. He got promoted after he confiscated my phone. So he confiscated my phone, and my phone was in the possession of SAP since October 2021 until I got it about 2 months ago. When I went through my phone, when I received it recently, that's when I realized that all the messages that I sent to Becky Cele was deleted, the SMS. But the SMSs that I sent to Sithole was still there. It's still there on my phone.
So when you try to follow up, to find out what they were doing with this information that you had passed on, what happened?
When I tried to follow up, Azizi Korwa blocked me. Remember, we met with this task team of his in September. But they promised me, you are giving us information, you are a whistleblower, and our duty is to protect. So in September, when this happened to me, when I was arrested by Panamera, my phone, I contacted Zizi Kodwa immediately, and he blocked me. And then I contacted the leader of this task team of his, and he told me long stories. Now he's waiting. I said, Zizi Kodwa blocked me, and you were the people who promised me protection, and now you are blocking me. So after that, my phone was taken, so I never communicated with him.
Why do you believe that information that you had given up was not followed up?
It was not followed up. First and foremost, the emails that I have still a proof of the emails that I sent to the president. I sent to the president's PA. I still have the letter that I sent to the president. I believe it was not followed up because when I followed up with another person in the president's office, that person informed me that the president might have never received the information. So that's why I believe it was never followed up, because also there was never an investigation into the information that we gave to Zizi Kodwa. If the president knows about it, then the president is complicit, because Zizi Kodwa said the president sent it to get the president is aware of the information. The president sent him to get a flash drive. So if Zizi Kodwa informed the president and the president also never acted, it means the president is complicit in what happened.
Now, that was just one of the issues that you whistleblew on. Tell us what else you whistleblew on.
The firearms. The firearms in the custody of the South African Police Service. It was meant for destruction. I reported that when I realized in 2018 that firearms had been stolen by police officers and been sold back to the black market, I informed my commander. My commander immediately went to Mayor General Isidia and informed him. After a week or so, my commander came back to me and said, you know what, Patricia, I gave the evidence to General Isidia, the evidence that you withdraw for me from the system. He knows about it, but he's not saying anything. What are we going to do about it? I told him, I say, you know what, if it's like that, then I'm going to report it to General Sithole. So I did report it to General Sithole. General Sithole referred me to General Ibia. General Ibia referred me to General Mutli, who was the provincial head of the DPCI in Freist. I indeed secured an appointment with General Mutli, gave him all the evidence, and General Mutli immediately indicated that he's going to initiate an investigation. He also said that, Patricia, in DPCI, we don't have someone who have the functions to check the serial numbers of the firearms for us. But I'm going to request from the provincial commissioner to transfer you so that you can assist us in the investigation. And indeed, wrote a letter to the provincial commissioner. She refused. It was in 2020. She refused, and then the investigation just never proceeded because they didn't have someone who can assist, could assist them to check those stolen firearms, the serial numbers of those stolen firearms on the system. I found out that these firearms are being licensed by police officers at the Central Firearm Registry, although these firearms still reflect a state-owned firearms. On the license card, it will show the name of the person, but on the serial number of the firearm, it will show that that firearm belongs to the state. So I believe that there was a motive behind the failure of the provincial commissioner to act. I believe the provincial commissioner covered up the smuggling of firearms by police officers. And I believe that General Isia and General Mutsiliani must be held accountable because they are complicit in the smuggling of state-owned fire.
And for all your trouble, you actually ended up losing your job.
For all my trouble, I ended up losing my job. I ended up being arrested. I ended up in Lake Eins. And all they wanted was to see me either dead or in prison.
Would you ever go back to the police, Patricia?
You know what? I don't think I will go back to the police. I'm planning to start my own foundation, Whistleblower Foundation, Anti-Corruption Foundation, whereby I'm going to still be a whistleblower, blowing the whistle not only on the South African police, but on all the departments, whether it's private or public, because during the time that I was out of the police in just a whistleblower, a lot of people came to me with a lot of information. And it's not only government, it's only also the private sector. So I will not go back to the police, but I'm going to, the lawyers are already now busy with several claims against the state. Not only the state, because I'm not going to only punish the state for what happened to me. I'm going to make sure that everyone was responsible for putting me through all this are going to be held personally liable, because the state must, taxpayers must always pay for the slip-ups, intentional, deliberate slip-ups of these people. They know that nothing will be, they will pay, not pay anything from that focus. But I am going to be the first to make sure that each and every one of them are going to be held personally liable before I'm going to the state, because I must also be held the state liable. The state failed to protect, although they knew I was always out there.
And how are your law studies going?
Currently, my studies was brought to a halt for 1.5 years. I was supposed to already have graduated in 2022, and I'm proceeding with my studies. I couldn't because of financial constraints, but I believe that in the next, I have about 12 modules left before I complete my law degree. So I believe that I will complete my law degree in 2025, I will complete my law degree.
Patricia, what message do you have for other whistleblowers who are suffering persecution and who are living in fear of their lives?
The message that I have for other whistleblowers is, I always say to people that don't be derailed. If you know you do the right, stand by your convictions. I know you're going to stand alone. And it's cold. It's hard to stand alone. But stand by your convictions. Currently now, I believe, I saw that I have created a safe space for whistleblowers, because most of the information that I have, I receive it from people who are afraid to talk out at their workplaces, where they are. So also establishing this foundation, Patricia Mashali Whistleblower, Anti-Corruption in Crime Victim Foundation. I will make sure that I become the voice of the victims who were denied of the justice, because there's a lot of people who are in prison for crimes that they never committed. That's what I'm going to concentrate on. I saw what happens in courts. I saw that when you're in a court, there's no guarantee that you will be acquitted like I was acquitted today, even though you will know you're afraid, because courts is not, prosecutors are not there for justice anymore. Prosecutors are there to fill up the pockets. Magistrates are there. The magistrate that presided in my case, I you know what? I want to say that I hope that other magistrates can learn from him, because today was about justice. Today was about being ethical. Today was about the truth. And that is what that magistrate stand for today. And he was very, very hard on the state. He was very hard on the South African Police Service. He was very hard on everyone who put me through this. And he told them, he said, that it can't be allowed that someone for charges. He actually said that this person, remember my husband was there with me, and there was no charges against me. No, the magistrate said, I don't actually know what is he doing in this court. There's no crime like community I can't even remember the word community in crime, because you were married in community of property. Now you must also be charged for the charges that was pressed against you. That's how he put it. He was very, very hard on the state today, and he told them that it can't be that innocent people are being dragged to court by the state, whereby the state even formulated proper charges against. And I pray for that magistrate, and I pray for other magistrates who want to do the right thing, but there are people who are in positions that are actually committing these crimes. The SPP, I want to speak specifically about the SPP, Claudia Matluku. Claudia Matluku is complicit in what happened to me. The corruption that she committed with Mayor General Lisiya, it's these people belong in jail, and we are going to press criminal charges against everyone implicated in this, because Brigadier Hanamerwe testified in court that yes, he did commit fraud by deleting information after a magistrate signed for the search and seizure warrant. He admitted, and the magistrate said, but you were supposed to be arrested. Why are you not arrested yet? So I already pressed charges in October already, and Claudia Matluku declined to prosecute because there was no proper procedures followed with their dog. The docket was taken by the suspect. And how can the suspect take the docket from the police station and take it to the prosecutor? And then we realized when Professor Dahas inquired about these dockets from the DPP, the dockets were never registered on the system of the DPP. So Claudia Matluku is a law unto herself at the DPP office. And she must be dealt with. She can't get away with this. How many people have suffered before me? I won't allow that there will be any people to suffer after this court case of mine. I won't allow it.
Thank you. That was South African Police Service whistleblower Patricia Morgan Mashali speaking to BizNews after her not guilty verdict today. Thank you, Patricia, and I'm Chris Stane.